If you have your Bibles, and as has been said, you should, turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel and the 9th chapter. We're getting ever so close in finishing this 9th chapter. I don't think we'll see that happen tonight. I think we have one more message after this. Tonight we will be looking at the 10th verse. Last week our point which we'll continue tonight is God's response to Ezekiel's supplication. And that is one of denial. God denies the prophet's request to act in long-suffering, to act in mercy. He assured Ezekiel that their sin was exceeding great. And as we considered this thought last week, we considered the thought of God's mercy. And yes, God does delight in mercy. Sometimes we might be guilty of thinking that God's mercy gives me a license to do as I please because God will be merciful. Well, as we see in Israel and Judah, that's the furthest thing from the truth. Amen. God will be merciful, but he will only be merciful to a point. And when his suffering has long endured and come to an end, there's no more. Amen. But as we looked at it last week, we also considered the fact that their sin was exceeding great. Exceeding great. He said the land was filled with blood, innocent blood. He said the city is full of perversions. And certainly we couldn't help but compare Ezekiel's day and the message that Ezekiel got from God and compare our day in time. Our land is full of innocent blood. And I don't intend to re-preach last week's message tonight. And the city is full of perversions. The United States of America is full of perversions. In fact, be honest, the whole world is full of innocent blood. And the whole world is full of perversions today. But going on, and this is where we begin tonight. We begin tonight with the thought that nothing will be done to decrease the sentence. Last week we dealt primarily with verse 9. This week we'll be dealing with primarily with verse 10. And let's read verse 10. And as for me also, is God speaking to Ezekiel, mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense their way upon their head. Now he said a lot there. Mercy no more. I'm not going to spare. I'm not going to pity. I'm not going to have compassion any longer upon Israel and Judah. To those who think not that God is only a God of love, read with us and listen, hear the word of the Lord. This is not the first time in the study of the book of Ezekiel that God has said this to Ezekiel. Turn with me to the fifth chapter. The fifth chapter and verse 11. Wherefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, surely because thou hast defiled my sanctuary with all thy detestable things and with all thine abominations, therefore will I also diminish thee, sounds like recompense to me, neither shall mine eye spare, neither will I have any pity. My compassion won't be there, no mercy will be showed you. Turn with me to chapter 7. Chapter 7 and verse 4. He said, and mine eye shall not spare thee, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense thy ways upon thee, and thine abominations shall be in the midst of thee. Yeah, there are abominations that are going to be in the midst. God's going to turn them into the midst of them. And ye shall know, that I am the Lord, and that my mercy has an end. My mercy has an end. My long suffering has an end. Chapter 8. In verse 18, just preceding this ninth chapter, the Lord says, therefore will I also deal in fury. Mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear. Oh, and you can imagine as they're being destroyed and the crying that is going up. Oh, now they want to turn to the Lord. I liken that to the days of Noah, when Noah had entered into the ark and God had shut the door. Noah preached for 120 years. He was a preacher of righteousness. They refused to listen to Noah. They mocked him. They scorned him. But boy, when that great flood water came, you can just picture them at the door of that ark, pounding, let us in, let us in. Now they're wanting salvation. Now they're wanting to repent and turn from their ways. It's too late. God says, in essence, in our verse, He says, I have been long suffering. He says that in the past. Look at a couple passages. I've been long suffering. I have borne their iniquity for a long time. We mentioned on one occasion, he said, yea, since the days since you're coming out of Egypt, I have borne long with this rebellious and stiff-necked people. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. And this is a passage of Scripture that we have looked at, well, several times in the course of this study, as it is talking about the days of Ezekiel, of what was going on, what was taking place. In verse 15 and 16, chapter 36 of 2 Chronicles, in verses 15 and 16, and the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by His messengers, rising up betimes, rising up early,
and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. You see, he gave them space. He gave them time to repent. He sent messengers. He sent his prophets unto them. But they would not hear. Verse 16. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. There was no cure. There was no deliverance any longer. No chance for it. No possibility of it. His long suffering had come to an end. Turn with me to a passage in the book of Numbers, and God had forewarned them. Yea, even before they went into to the land, to possess the land, God had told them that if they would not do his word, if they would not obey his commandments, he told them what would befall them. But you think they would listen? No, they wouldn't listen. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 18. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations. You see, if you will obey, I'm long-suffering. I'll be merciful to you. I'll be good to you. But I'm not going to clear. I'm not going to acquit the guilty.
What's this say concerning Israel and Judah now that we come to 2 Chronicles chapter 36? Now that we come to the book of Ezekiel? What's it say? They were guilty. They were guilty. They had turned their backs on God. They were, so to speak, if you go down through that eighth chapter, they were rubbing it in God's face. All their great abominations, all their great abominations was in the city of the Lord. All their great abominations were in the house of the Lord. Even his priests were guilty. Even the ancients, the ones who were elders of the land, who were to be their teachers and instructors in the right ways of the Lord. But as they have not spared the poor, and we looked at that in chapter 7 and 8, they hadn't spared the poor and the needy. They hadn't spared the widow and the fatherless. They had perverted the judgments of God. The city was full of perversions and the land was full of blood. The innocent blood of the poor and needy. And going through the scriptures, going through the Old Testament and into the New, the poor is always illustrative of God's people. It's illustrative of those who've been brought low. They're in a poor state. They recognize their poor state before the Lord God. They weren't merciful to them. They didn't have compassion on them. They shed their blood. They mistreated them, misused them, abused them. God says, now, I'll not spare you. I'll not have compassion upon you. I'll not pity you. He says, in our text, he says, I will recompense their way upon their head Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah 59, and look with me here at verse 18. According to their deeds, accordingly, he will repay. Just let that sink in. According to their deeds, accordingly, he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands, he will repay recompense. Now, contrary to what everyone thinks today, God is not just a God of love. These verses show that God is not just a God of love. Yes, he delights in love. He delights in mercy. He delights in grace. But he's a God of wrath as well.
Amen.
And he will repay. He will recompense. Turn with me to the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 9. In verse 7. The days of visitation are come. The days of recompense are come. Israel shall know it. The prophets is a fool. The spiritual man is mad. For the multitude of thine iniquity and the great hatred. You see, Israel and Judah were saying, the prophet is a fool. The spiritual man is mad. Well, the day of visitation has come. The day of God's recompense has come, he says in the book of Hosea. And I say to you tonight that there's coming a day of visitation. There's coming a day of God visiting this earth, visiting this earth in judgment. It is a day of recompense. Coming. There's a day of recompense coming upon all the unrighteous. He has been long suffering. But there's a day in which that shall come to an end. A day in which that shall cease. Turn with me to the book of 2 Peter. The book of 2 Peter. In chapter 3. And we're going to read a few verses here. Because this chapter is dealing primarily with the long-suffering of God. Look at this. Verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of,
that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, land standing out of water and in water, whereby the world that then was, the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. They had come to an end of God's long suffering, and He destroyed them. He sent condemnation, and it covered them in a flood. And it was a flood of such great force and such great magnitude that there none could escape it except those that were in the ark. The eight souls and all the beasts that God let into the ark. And contrary to the pictures of Noah leading them in, no, God caused them to go in. Amen. To the ark. But the heavens and earth, which are now, right now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. In other words, what that verse says is right now, God is being long-suffering. Long-suffering until the day appointed. Let's see if that's not so. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That all the usward should come to repentance, and therefore God is being long-suffering with the rest of the world. Waiting till all that God has appointed to salvation have come. And they come at His appointed time. And not one will He lose. Now, let's see if that's not so. Hold your finger there, because we're going to read more. But turn with me now to Romans. Romans chapter 9. And look at verse 22. What if God, willing to show His wrath, and He is, and to make His power known, and He's willing to do that too. He's going to make it known in His wrath. All the world's mocking us now. But there's coming a day they'll not mock Him. You see? Endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. This verse tells us that He's enduring with much long suffering those who are appointed unto condemnation. And they're not appointed of His appointing, they're appointed of their own making.
According to John chapter 3, in verses 17, 18. There, we'll not turn there and read them. Verse 23 goes on to say, and that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy, which He had afore prepared unto glory. This is the reason why He's being long-suffering with those who are fitted to destruction, is for those vessels of mercy to come in. Now, Romans chapter 2. in verse 4. Romans 2, in verse 4.
Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering? And the world of the ungodly are despising that. They despise that. They don't understand it. But not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The goodness and mercy of God leads you to repentance. All the while he's being long-suffering to those who are mocking him and cursing him.
God is just a figment of your imagination. Can you see him? I can't see him.
I can.
I can. Amen.
I can. Can't you? I see him in his word. I see him often in his word. But better than that, I see him by the eye of faith. And you can't convince me otherwise. You see, I'm fully persuaded of a thing that it is so.
Now, I told you not to keep your finger in 2 Peter, and I held it for a while, and then I let it go. There it is. Now, let's continue reading.
He's being long-suffering with them until all those appointed to salvation, which is according to his appointed day, have come in. But the day of the Lord will come, in verse 10, as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the worlds that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be, O saved man? The you are those that are saved. That's who he's talking to here. You see, he's not talking to the ungodly. The ungodly won't believe it. The ungodly will only ridicule and mock.
He's talking to you that are saved.
Amen.
You see. To be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat.
Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, we know his promise is sure. Even though he hasn't come, we know that he hasn't come because of his long suffering. And there are still more souls that he wants to bring in to the fold. You see. Now look at verse 15. An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. The fact that God is being long suffering, there are souls to be saved. That's what I just said, wasn't it?
Amen.
Account that the long suffering of God, our Lord, is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. So not only had Peter wrote unto him, but Paul had wrote unto him also, according to the same wisdom. Where did that wisdom come from? That wisdom came from God. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 1. In verse 5. The end of the commandment is charity. Out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. I'm sorry, I'm in Timothy.
2 Thessalonians. I need to go one more page. Verse 5 of chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians.
Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer.
Notice the saved are presently now suffering just as the Thessalonians were.
Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, to the ungodly who trouble us, who vex our righteous souls day after day after day, as Lot's righteous soul was vexed day after day with Sodom and Gomorrah. Our righteous souls are vexed day unto day. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. See, there's coming a day when we're going to rest. Amen. We're going to rest from all our suffering. We're going to rest from all our trials and tribulation. And God is going to recompense their unjust dealings with us, their wickedness. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming to recompense. He's coming to bring vengeance upon them. You see, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Yes, in that day, because we believed the gospel message was faithful unto the Lord. In that day, we're going to be witnesses against them, against the ungodly, when he comes, taking flaming fire and vengeance upon them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for his love. Praise the Lord for his grace. Praise the Lord for his mercy, his long suffering. Praise the Lord. And know assuredly, brethren, that the fact that he hasn't come says he's being long suffering with the wicked, even though they're disgusting to him, even though he hates the workers of iniquity, he's being long suffering with them till that last sheep is brought into the fold. And then his recompense, his vengeance, is going to pour out upon them. Shall we stand, be dismissed in a word of prayer? Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great truth of your word. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that I am yours and you are mine, that I'm in Christ Jesus, and he is me, in me. And thank you that I'm in his church, the body of Christ. What a blessed place to be. First of all, to be saved, to be in Christ Jesus, and then to be taught the need to be identified with the Lord in the waters of baptism. A picture of his death, burial, and resurrection. Picture of my death to sin and burial to it. And resurrection to a new way of life. which is a door to the church, the church membership, have taught me the precious truths of the Word of God concerning His church, concerning the doctrine of salvation. Oh, what a blessing they are. Bless your people. Bless the Grace Baptist Church. May we continue in steadfastness, being faithful unto the Lord Jesus Christ until He comes again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.